is Nanyange versus Gonzalez, but I don't see Mr.
So
by phone, is he?
No, not at all. He's just
counsel. It's very unusual.
Well, then we'll take the case on the briefs.
Mm-hmm. Although, wait a minute, the government.
Yeah, you're here. Yeah, you're here. Well, we can't very well let you argue without letting him argue. Can you come here for a minute, dear?
It's very odd. Very odd to not have.
He's had an apology last week.
Yeah.
Your note says, upon attorney, fifth case, Bawangi is able to argue.
Okay. But what do you mean he's unable?
Yeah.
He just counseled.
What?
No explanation. He just counseled. He just said he wasn't going to come in today. You want to talk
with no explanation?
He said he was going to the doctor.
Oh.
I've never seen this.
Me either.
Have you?
No.
Mm-mm. Not without some explanation.
Have you?
Can we take this on the briefs?
I think we can. She made the trip. Didn't she come? I think she should argue.
Can we take this on the brief and let her argue?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, that's here's right. What we'll do. We're going to take his, we're going to take the appellant's brief as is, and we're going to allow you to argue. And we'll all probably be impeached.
I hope not.
All right. So, you are Miss Callahan.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning,
Miss
Callahan.
I am Julia Callahan, here on behalf of Respondent Alberto Gonzalez. The evidence presented by the petitioner does not compel a reasonable finder of fact to reach a contrary conclusion to that reached by the immigration judge. Therefore, this court should deny her petition. It is the burden of an asylum seeker to provide credible evidence in support of her application. This is especially true where, as here, the asylum seeker provides little or no other direct evidence to prove her story and relies largely upon her own testimony. In this case, the immigration judge found that there were several important inconsistencies in the petitioner's statement, and the record supports that conclusion.
Seems as if the only discrepancies that the immigration judge identified as a basis not to believe her were on collateral points rather than on the heart of her claim, if they were discrepancies at all. For example, how can she be faulted for talking about non-existent rebel groups invading Uganda when her testimony was not that there actually were such groups, but that the local chairman was falsely accusing her of aiding such groups?
Your Honor, her testimony first that there were rebel groups, I point you to the administrative record on page 60 where she said the rebel groups that were invading Uganda from Rwanda. Moreover, she was discussing rebel groups as the motive of the local council chairman for persecuting her, and that's the heart of her asylum claim. After the immigration judge stated that he knew of no rebels that had attacked Uganda from Rwanda at that time, she changed her story and agreed that there actually were no rebels. The petitioner has attempted to explain away this discrepancy by stating that she meant to say that the local council chairman used the story to justify his actions against her, and it's irrelevant whether there truly were rebels of the type she described by the petitioner. But the court should not use post hoc interpretations and make inconsistent testimony consistent or irrelevant to disturb the immigration judge's reasonable and well.
Help me with this other one. He thought that it was implausible that a doctor of traditional medicine would issue antibiotics to her as she testified. But how do we know that that's implausible?
I concede, Your Honor, that's not the basis. I don't think that's the basis of the immigration judge's decision. I think he said it was inconsistent because she first said that she treated herself with salt and water and then said that she was treated by a medical doctor with drugs, antibiotics, and plaster. Those are two completely different things, to on the one hand say that you treated yourself with salt and water, and on the other hand to say that you were treated by another. Those are inconsistencies that are supported by the record.
You know, again, he faulted her regarding the number of times that her attorney allegedly facilitated her release from prison, but she was relying on what her sister had told her, not on her own personal knowledge. So how can she be faulted for those inconsistencies?
I believe, Your Honor, that the immigration judge was discussing the inconsistency between the story as she understood it and the evidence that she presented. It's the duty of the immigration judge to weigh all of the evidence as it's brought before him, and if he sees a discrepancy between evidence and the story of the petitioner, he needs to make note of that and consider it when he considers this the story of the petitioner, as he did correctly in this case. It's supported by reasonable evidence, reasonable probative and substantial evidence in the record. And moreover, I don't think that would compel a reasonable finder of fact to reach a different conclusion.
But when we look at these, the three or four things that he lists, those are very, very minor. And really not germane to me to the heart of the claim here.
Your Honor,
and they're sort of tangential because none of them really get to her fundamental story and what occurred.
I think, Your Honor, that her fundamental story is that she was harassed by the local council chairman because of her political activities, that she was twice arrested, beaten, and raped, that she was released, that she was treated for her injuries.
Right, but like when you take on that twice release situation, she does indicate that, I mean, Magura, I know I'm saying that name incorrectly, indicated that there were two times that she was incarcerated, in both July and September, and when she was detained and raped, in other words.
Your Honor, I believe Mugerwa's affidavit states that the sister told Mugerwa that she was arrested twice and that she was arrested because of her political activities. That wasn't Mugerwa's own personal knowledge, and we already know that there are some discrepancies between information that the sister provided to the petitioner and that and information and as it may have occurred.
Okay.
This court has stated that credibility determinations are afforded substantial deference and should only be overturned under extraordinary circumstances. Those extraordinary circumstances are not present in this case. Therefore, this court should deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan. Thank you. You argued under very unusual circumstances.
Thank you. And
thank you. We are going to issue an order requiring Attorney Mwangi to explain to us in a letter within 7 days why he did not appear this morning for oral argument. And with that, this case will be taken under advisement, along with all the others. And we will adjourn until tomorrow morning at 9:30. And you have a good trip back. Thank you.